Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham. We're glad to be with you again on this Sunday morning. We hope all of you had a great week. I thought there was going to get a little more rain. What we did, I think, got just a sprinkle or two. Kind of like one of the weathermen said one day we had 12-inch rain. It was 12 inches apart, the drops were. But, hey, God knows what we need. We know it's dry. We know it's hot. But isn't it a wonderful thing that God gave man the ability to create air conditioning? So we hope you are in that air conditioning this week on these hot days that we've had, but it's just a good thing to be able to come to the house of the Lord and to read from His Word and study from it and be able to come and share it with you on this radio station this morning. So we hope all of you are well. We know some may be shut in. Some may not be well today, may be sick, the reason you had to stay home from church. And so we're going to pray that you'll get better. We pray for those that may be traveling. I know school started back and everybody's trying to get that last minute vacation in, but whatever. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get right with it. Father, we do just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for this opportunity once again to come and to read from your word and to study from it, Lord, that we can be challenged as Christian people, Lord, that we can be convicted as lost people, that we can come to know you as our Lord and Savior. So we pray if there's one listening to our voice that does not know you, I pray this morning, Lord, that they will come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We pray for those that may be shut in today or sick and afflicted, Lord, not able to make it to their church. We do pray for their restored health. We pray, Lord, that you'll get them well so they can be back worshiping you. We pray for those that may be traveling today. And Lord, we just ask you to give them traveling graces as they're in that car to and from. But Lord, we just come to you asking you today to bless the reading of this word, bless the preaching of it. Lord, anoint me with your Holy Spirit. Remove anything in my life that may hinder me from being used by you, that I will be a vessel that you can speak through this morning, that it will always be your words, that I will decrease and you will increase, that Jesus will be uplifted and that Satan will be bound. As we give you the honor and the glory for it all this morning, in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. You know, this morning, I want us to think about, what if you knew the day? Think about that just a minute. What if you really knew the future and you knew what day you were going to die? Would you change the way that you're living? Would you change the things that you're doing? Would your attitude change? Would it change what you're going to plan to do for tomorrow or the next day? Would you go to work? I guess it would be determined on what day you was going to die, right? You know, I laugh. I tell people all the time that if we really could see the future and knew what was out there in front of us, most of us wouldn't want to go on, would we? I mean, when you look back at some of the things you've been through in your life, I know Denise and I, you know, we'll look back at our younger years and raising those three kids and just the times that we have with her in school and me in school a lot of times. And, you know, we kind of wonder, how did we make it? How did we make it? But we see the grace of God. We see His hand at work that saw us through all those times. So if we could really see what is out there in front of us, I just wonder, what would we do? What would you do if you really knew the day that your life would be over? Well, we see a story like that where a man finds out that his life is fixing to be over, but then he cries out to the Lord and he finds out what day his life would be over. So let's read it, if you will. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20, and we're going to read those verses 1 through 6. It's about King Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and listen to what it says. He says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember how that I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day that thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Syria. and I will defend the city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. You know, as we read this story this morning, as I said, we know that King Hezekiah is the king of Judah. We know that there's been this problem with the Assyrians attacking them. They've been battling back and forth. There was this constant battle going on, constant turmoil going on, and all the things that were happening. And we see that Hezekiah becomes ill. He had a boil on him, had a big boil on him. It must have been infected. We don't know. And we see the prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah, and he tells Hezekiah, he says, Hezekiah, you better get everything in order because you're fixing to die. You're fixing to die. This boil is going to kill you, and you're fixing to die. And Hezekiah had been a good king. And so we see that as Isaiah leaves, Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he begins to pray and he begins to weep. And he weeps greatly. And he tells God, he says, God, don't you remember, I've tried to walk in your truth. I've tried to have you and serve you with a perfect heart. I've tried to do that which is good in your sight. And he just wailed and cried out unto the Lord. And so God hears his prayer and he stops Isaiah before he got out of the middle court. And he tells Isaiah, he says, now Isaiah, you go back and you tell him that I'm going to heal him and I'm going to take care of my people. I'm going to take care of them. The Assyrians, they're going to have victory over the Assyrians. So you don't worry. I'm going to take care of them. And we know he does. And he says, but I'm going to add to you 15 years. Now think about that just a minute, folks. You know, I really don't know which would be worse, to hear, hey, you fixing to die and you fixing to die quickly here in just a little bit, or to be told, but I'm going to give you 15 more years, you know. I'm going to give you 15 more years to live. But when those 15 years is up, then that's going to be it, buddy. But I'll give you 15 more years. Now, I know all of us have a desire in our hearts to want to live. We have a desire in our hearts to want to live as long as we can and to be there as long as we can. But can you imagine him knowing to live out those next 15 years that's all you got? You got 15 years. And when it's 15 years is up, Hezekiah, then you are going to die. And we see that God heals him. We see that Isaiah takes a lump of figs and he laid it on the boil. And what happened? And Hezekiah, he recovered. And then he says, well, how am I going to know that what God has said, that God's going to keep his promise, that I'm going to get them 15 years? How do I know that I'm going to be well and I'm going to make it those 15 years? And so what does he say? God said he's going to make the sundial go forward. And Hezekiah said, hey, you know, that's nothing real spectacular. Why don't you make it go backwards? And so what did God do? He made the sundial go backwards 10 degrees instead of forward, but it went backwards 10 degrees. Now, you know, we've had a lot of people try to figure out time and history and all the hours and all this, and a lot of times they had to come back to this story right here, don't they? Because they can't find, where did these 10 degrees go? Where did this 10 hours go? Where did it happen? Where does it go? And they come back to this story of Hezekiah, and they see where God moved the sundial back. And then they start seeing things fall into place. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that we see how that God does these great marvelous things? But it proved to Hezekiah, you got 15 years, buddy, and that's it. Now the question is, once again, what if you knew the day? What if you knew you only had 15 years from right now? You know, I'm kind of getting started on that Social Security, and you know, from what they're telling me, my Social Security probably ain't gonna last another 15 years. So, you know, 15 years probably just be about good enough for me, Lord. Just let me go ahead and die so I won't have to worry about starving to death, because I ain't gonna have no Social Security in 2036. That ain't but about, what, 12 years from now, not even 15. So, you know, 15 years may not look too bad. But what if you thought you only had, and you, without a doubt, you only got 15 years to live? What if you'd been Hezekiah when he said first, set your house in order because you are fixing to die? What would you do? What would you change? What would you do different? If you knew you had only 15 years, would you go and take all of your retirement out right now and stay on the road traveling and spend all your retirement money and full K-1 money traveling and seeing the world? Is that what you would do? Would you spend it? Maybe would you wait up to maybe that that last year and go take out a big loan somewhere, you know, not tell anybody, hey, I'm only going to live one more year, so I'm going to go borrow $1 million. And then, you know, I'm going to die, and it's only in my name. And you know, so they can have everything I got, but my kids will have $1 million. What would you do? What kind of attitude would you have about it? Would you think about, well, you know, I better do everything that I can right now and do everything and acquire everything that I can right now because I only have 15 years before I die. Would you make it to church every Sunday? Think about that. Would you make it to church every Wednesday night if you knew you was going to die in 15 years? Is that what you would do? Or would you go out and party every night and say, I only got but a few years to party, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to party every night. I'm going to do everything I can to party and have a good time. What would you do if you knew the day? Well, let's think about what he says here. He says to Hezekiah, he says, what? Set your house in order, for thou shalt die. So I want us to think about preparing like we knew the day. What would you prepare if you knew the day? So number one, I want us to think about preparing your house. Prepare your house. Number two, we want to look at preparing for the unexpected. And then number three, we're going to look at prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God. And so I want us to think about those three things as we think about how would we prepare if we were to knew the day. How would we do it? Well, let's look at the first one. He says to Hezekiah, first of all, you fixing to die, set your house in order. Prepare your house. Now, you know, when I think about that, and when you think about preparing your house, if you knew exactly when you were going to die, if you knew in the next day or so you was going to die, what would you do? Well, you'd probably make sure that your will was in order, would you not? You'd probably make sure that you had everything just like you wanted it, and they would understand who got what and what's going to get this and who's going to get that. Was that what you would do? I'll never forget one time, my grandmother, before she died, she had an old house, over 100 years old, had a lot of antique furniture in it, and she was 87 years old before she died, and she was about 80 at this time, and a lot of people in the family, they began to say, well, Grandma, I want this. And so they began to take their magic markers and go in and write on the furniture whose was whose, you know, so that she would know. She was trying to get her house in order. When I die, all right, everybody that wants something, you got your name on the piece of furniture. Well, guess what happened? Lightning struck the house, struck a pecan tree right next to the house, went in on the house and burned the house down and all of the furniture. She was still working at that time. She was 80 years old. She was at town working. She lost everything but her car and the clothes on her back. All of that furniture, everybody wrote their names on, guess what? So would that be what you'd do? You'd set your house in order. You'd say, okay, you're going to get this. You're going to get this bedroom suit. You're going to get this gun. You're going to get my truck. You're going to get my boat. You know, what would you do? How would you set your house in order? Would you go down and make you prearrange your funeral service? You know, it seems like about every other week I get one of those prearrangement cards in the mail. You know, some funeral service want me to go ahead and prearrange. Well, you know, I don't think there's no use for me prearrange my funeral because I believe the way the world's going, guess what? Jesus is going to come back before I die. That's what it seems like. But a lot of people thought that, hadn't they? So would we prearrange that funeral service? Is that what we would do? Will we make that special trip, maybe that bucket list that we had, that we said, hey, you know, I've always wanted to go see that Grand Canyon. So if I know I'm going to die in the next week or the next year, if I really knew the day, I'm going to go and I'm going to see that site. But then what about setting our house as far as our house being our lives? Your house. The Bible says what? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Lord? So how would you prepare your house for meeting God? How would you prepare your house that you knew that your day was coming up right there in just 15 years? I mean, 15 years, really nothing in it. Well, in Romans chapter 14, verses 12 through 13, it says, set therefore us out. So, therefore, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Don't judge each other, he says. Don't judge one another. Because every one of us are going to give an account before God. So if you had to put your house in order and you had to give an account to God, As you looked over all your accounts, would you make sure all your bills are paid? Would you make sure everything that you did was pleasing to God? How would you get your house in order? Well, I'm going to think about three different things that I believe that people should do to get their house in order. First of all, if we knew that we was going to die, do we have any unconfessed sin? You know, before we stand before God, if we're Christian people, we can get forgiveness on this side. If you don't believe in God, then you're going to end up in the devil's hell. You're not worried about forgiveness. But if you're a Christian, if you'll confess your sins, then God will forgive you. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we will confess our sins before Him, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to do what? Cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful to think about? He will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So think about that. Do you have confessed sin? If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, if you knew you were going to die in the next 15 years, would you confess your sins? Do you have unconfessed sins? See, that's the only way we can ever repent of them and get rid of them. If we confess them before God, repent of those sins, then He will forgive us. And He will do what? Cleanse us from all of that unrighteousness. But we've got to be willing to confess those sins. So do you have unconfessed sins? There we see that Hezekiah having the unconfessed sins. You know, I love what he did here. He didn't begin to confess his sins, but what did he say in verse 3? I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. So he reminded God, hey, God, look at how I've tried to be a good king. Look at how I've tried to live a good life. Is that what you would do? Or do you have sins that you need to confess, that you need to get rid of yourselves? Well, let's look at the second thing that I believe we would do to prepare our house or prepare our life. What about unspoken words? What about those unspoken words? Now, what am I talking about here? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you told your child you loved them? When's the last time you told your wife or your husband you loved them? When's the last time you told your mama or your daddy you loved them or your friend? Maybe you got something against. You know, Jesus said, you know, if you come to give your alms and if you got aught against your brother, what did he say? He says, you go and you get that straight before you give your offering. You leave your offering here at the altar and then you come back after you get that straight and then give your offering. But you don't try to give it until you get right with that person. You know, there's a lot of words that people should have spoken, but they took them to the grave to them. There's a lot of words that should have been spoken to a lot of people who are now in the grave, and you can't speak them to them. I don't care how many times you visit the cemetery. I don't care how long you sit beside their grave. I don't care how much you cry. If you didn't say those words before they died, then they're not hearing you. I'm sorry. I mean, you got to do that now. You got to set your house in order now. You got to confess those sins that you hadn't confessed. You got to speak those words that you needed to say, and maybe you didn't say them. What about we as Christian people? What about people that we have not told about Jesus? You may be working by that person in that plant for the last 15 years, but have you ever told them about Jesus? What if you were going to die in the next week and you knew it? You knew for a fact you was going to die next week. Monday morning, would you tell your coworkers about Jesus? You've been there 15 years, you hadn't told them yet. There's a lot of unconfessed sins that need to be confessed. There's a lot of unspoken words that need to be spoken. And then there's a lot of undone deeds that need to be done. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, He said, I must work the work of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when what? When no man works. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. Because there's coming a time, there's coming a night when none of us can work. No man can work. See what he's saying, brothers and sisters? If there's something you need to do for somebody, if there's a deed that you need to correct, if there's a deed that you need to do it now. If you knew you were going to die tomorrow, would there be something that you'd go and do? When's the last time you hugged that person? You know, when's the last time you've done something, you visited that person? Maybe you've been estranged from for 20 years. You need to go see that person. You need to get that right. those unconfessed sins, those unspoken words, those undone deeds that we need to do. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is your house prepared? Is your house prepared? If you knew the day and you knew the time, would there be something that you would go and do because you know you have left it undone and you need to do it? Well, let's look at the second thing. The second thing I said is we must prepare for the unexpected. You know, none of us really know when our time is going to be, do we? None of us really knows when our time's going to be. And so this morning, as we're just kind of thinking about, but what if you did? What if you did? But none of us really knows. And the Bible tells us very plain, be ye therefore what? Also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Whatever hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. As it was in the day of Noah, in the twinkling of an eye, you know, at that last trumpet, when that trumpet sounds and Christ and that shout is made, Christ comes back. I mean, it's going to be just in a split moment, just in a split moment that's going to happen. And you know, are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready and prepared for that unexpected moment? You know, as I think about people that I've known through the years, I remember Denise's grandpa, McDaniel, Grandpa Mac. Grandpa Mac had a lot of health issues. He had some COPD and had some bad lungs, kept that old inhaler with him all the time. And I mean, you know, he was constantly puffing on that thing and wheezing. And the doctors told him one time, said, Mac, you won't live 6 months. 20 years later, he was still living. Isn't that amazing? 20 years later, he was still living. Now, you know, if he had believed what the doctor told him and told him he wasn't going to live 6 months, you know, I kind of wonder if he'd have made it them 20 years. He'd probably just give up. I had another good friend that had cancer. They told him, they said he went to MD Anderson. They told him, you know, there, we think we can help you. We'll see. He'd been told in Jackson, he said, we don't give you 6 months to live. Went to MD Anderson. They said, look, if we see an improvement by tomorrow, then we think we can help you. God spared his life 25 years. Isn't that amazing? 25 years, God spared his life. Even though the doctors had told him at one point, you won't live 6 months. How many times have we seen stuff like that? When the doctor would try to put a time on it, and the doctor would say, hey, you only got 6 months. You only got 3 months. You only got, you know, a year to live. And people live 20. But let me turn that coin over. And this is a sad state. I know when my daughter was in high school, and I remember one of her dearest little friends, they was at the river, and they was having a good time at the river, and she was running back to town with all intentions to coming back to the river. But guess what? She had a wreck. She never came back. The unexpected happened. Young life at 16 years old, taken. Maybe 17. Just started. Just starting in life. And it was gone. See, we must be prepared for the unexpected. Because sometimes we may get that news, well, you only got 6 months and we may have 20 years. Sometimes we may think we got 20, 40, 50, 60 years, maybe even 80 now, people living in their 90s, and not make it back home from town. Isn't that amazing? So that's the reason he says, be prepared for the unexpected. See, Hezekiah thought, I'm fixing to die. I got to get ready, praise unto God. And what did God do? God says, I'm going to give you 15 more years. He didn't expect that, did he? He didn't expect that, but was he prepared then to live on? Was he prepared to make it those next 15 years? You know, Paul said it this way. He said it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. He says, I am now ready to be offered up, and my time of departure is at hand. Paul knew he was fixing to die. He didn't know exactly when, but he knew his days were short. You know, most people, I think, kind of know when they're about to die, if they're not taken in some kind of tragedy. Those that have been sick and those that are old, a lot of times I think they can kind of feel that time coming to an end. And Paul knew that. But what did he say? I know that I am ready. Now, how was he ready? I'm ready. Right now, I'm ready. How did he know that he was ready? Well, look what he said in that next verse in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. He says, because I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept my faith. Look, if you're going to be prepared for the unexpected, if you're going to be prepared that death can come to you at any time, then the first thing you got to do is make sure you're fighting the good fight. You know, Jesus didn't save us and call us to set us on a pew and us to sit on the sideline and just let the world go haywire and people die and go to hell. He expects us to be out there fighting. I tell people all the time, the church is to be what? It is to be a training camp, a boot camp for training warriors, for training soldiers for the cross. It's not just some retirement home. It's not some daycare that just babysit a bunch of babies. We have got to fight the good fight. If we want to be prepared for anything that is expected, what do they say? That was the thing about a Marine. They always expected the unexpected. They're always prepared. They all knew how to improvise when things didn't go their way. They're always prepared. We as Christians must be always prepared because we don't know. We got to be ready. He says, well, I finished my course. In other words, I know I've done everything that I can do. I know that I've done what God has called me to do. Are you ready because you know you're doing what God called you to do? Or will we be back up there at number one trying to confess them sins, them unconfessed sins? Will we be back trying to do those deeds that we hadn't done, doing the work of the Lord? Will we be on fire for Him then when we're not now? And look, what else did He say? He says, I kept the faith. Isn't that amazing? I kept the faith. Have you kept your faith? Through all this life, would you keep your faith? If God told you you was going to die tonight, would you keep your faith or would you lose your faith? If He told you you had 15 years, would you keep your faith and would you serve Him? Or would you say, I'm going to go out and party for these next 15 years? Paul says, I'm now ready. So I fought the fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. So if we knew today, how would you prepare your house? Prepare for the unexpected. And then lastly, prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it talks about being absent from the body and being present with God. Now, we love to talk about that as Christian people, do we not? We love to talk about how that as Christian people, you know, we're died and we're absent from this body and now we're at heaven with God. But do you realize that lost people are going to end up in the presence of God too? They're going to be before Him. They're going to be judged. And they're going to be what? Sent to another place. As He separates the sheep from the goat. As He separates the tares from the wheat. And He says to the tares, He says to the goats, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And they cast down that outer darkness into that place called hell. That place of torment. Because they have met God. Now, in Amos chapter 4, verse 12, we see that it says, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Now, God, Amos here is talking to Israel. God is speaking through Amos. And what had happened is they had turned away from God. They had not turned back to God. They continued in the old rituals of sacrifices and things like this, but it really didn't mean anything. And so God told them, said, I don't want your sacrifices. You go and do your sacrifices. You do all this, but yet you have not returned to me. Return to me, and because you have not returned to me, then He says, I'm going to do with you like I've done Sodom and Gomorrah and these other places, and He says, it's going to happen to you, so you better prepare to meet thy God. Now, I want to make this clear right here. When He says, thy God, O Israel, the God of Israel is the true God. But you know the shame about it is there's a lot of people, the reason I put prepare to meet God, because see, there's a lot of people who don't believe in God. Me and Miss D and Hunter, they was working in the music room this week, and we went down to Wendy's to get a little bite of lunch while they were working. While we were in there, Miss D met some young ladies, and they were from the Philippines, I believe it was, and they were Buddhists. And you know, and we just talked about, you know, what a crying shame that is for people who believe in Buddha, who have no hope. Well, see, when they die, guess what? They're not going to stand before Buddha. She met a young man who said, I don't want you praying for me. I don't believe in God. Well, guess what? He better prepare to meet God because one day he's going to die and he's going to meet God. the God who created all things, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, the God of Israel. It don't make any difference who your God is. Then when you die, brother, you better be prepared because you're fixing to meet the one and the true Almighty God. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, he talks about that foolish young man, that ruler, not the young ruler, but the rich man. What did it say? His barns were, his crop done so well that he filled all his barns up. And what did he say? He said, man, I'm going to build bigger barns and I'm not going to have to do anything but just eat, drink, and be merry. And the Bible says, God said to him, thy food, because tonight your soul is required of you. And you have not laid up treasures toward God. You have laid up treasures for your own self and not toward God. See, brothers and sisters, we're going to stand before him one day. We're going to meet God one day. And if you knew what day that was going to be, what would you be doing different? Prepare to meet God, the one and only true God. We all going to meet him one day, whether you believe in him or not. Prepare for that unexpected, because no, we don't know the day. Prepare your house. Don't let those unconfessed sins and unspoken words and undone deeds continue. Make sure you do those things. Because we will meet him one day. We may not know the day, but the day is coming. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively. And Lord, I pray that we will act as if we knew the day, that we would live and that we would prepare ourselves, that we would prepare our house, we prepare for the unexpected, we would prepare to meet you, the one and only true God, because all of us will one day. We'll stand before you. We're going to give an account. So, Lord, I pray if there's one not ready, that one that cannot say like Paul, my time of departure is at hand, but I'm ready right now, then, Lord, help them to get ready today by knowing Jesus as their Savior. Thank you for your word today, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.